broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, the great David Noble in the house here every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. David, good to see you. Thanks for covering down on Friday's show, by the way.
Thank you so much. It was a great show, I thought.
Yeah, well, I want to go back and listen to some of the podcasts. I downloaded them. I was a little sleepy on Sunday on the flight back, so I wasn't in podcast mode for the flight back after staying up late for UFC 300. It was pretty much UFC 300, UFC official after party, airport was kind of my itinerary for Saturday night into Sunday morning, but a really cool trip, though. But really glad you had the two Supreme Court candidates on for Chief Justice Corey Swanson, who's the Broadwater County attorney, also an Iraq War veteran, and then Judge Dan Wilson out of the Flathead County. Those are the two candidates that I know, you know, conservatives are saying, hey, these are the guys to vote for. A couple of great guys, though. But, yeah, what was your biggest takeaway from that conversation, if any of our listeners missed when those two gentlemen were on the show?
Well, I mean, I think the takeaway is both of those guys are running, I think, good campaigns, and they're wanting to bring integrity and fixes to the Montana Supreme Court. You know, I think a lot of us conservative Republicans, like, we would love to see somebody get onto the district court bench, onto the Supreme Court bench, who's going to be a hardcore conservative activist and really push conservative policy positions. But that's really not what, you know, the true function of the court is. It's supposed to be impartial. It's supposed to just interpret the law. The judges and the justices are supposed to set aside their personal political beliefs and decide cases strictly on the law and the facts. And so it was good to see both of those guys really kind of focus in on that. And again, it's like, man, why are we gonna send really good, high quality people to the Supreme Court to be fair when the other side's not fair?
Yeah, because our side, many people feel like, hey, we're just getting kicked in the teeth by these liberals on these courts, whether it's federal district judges that were put there by Baucus and Tester and crew that are ruling against oil, gas, coal, ag, you name it, or at the state Supreme Court level. So some on our side are like, let's put somebody in there that'll kick their teeth in. And it's like, no, actually, conservatives will win by just restoring fairness and justice in the rule of law. Right. That's actually what we need to actually win. We don't need to go in and be punitive against the other side. We just need to restore fairness in the rule of law, and actually our side will win in the state courts in Montana.
That's a good point, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
You know, it's all sorts of crazy things in the news, of course. And what do you want to cover this morning before I start throwing your random stories out there?
Well, I don't know if you've talked about this, but this NPR story is just hilarious because they're acting as if it's news that NPR is like hardcore radical left, has no credibility, nobody listens to it. And it's news because this 25-year NPR veteran wrote this story basically saying NPR doesn't care about the facts. Like, they're all obsessed with, like, trans and, like, LaPinks issues and, like, all of this stuff. And they don't do the facts, and so nobody's listening to them anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, duh.
Well, look at the Lee newspapers. Look at that massive Billings Gazette building. There's, like, nobody left in that building anymore. For the same reason, they pushed the liberal BS for too long. Nobody's buying your Adam Schiff anymore. They're not even listening to you, right? Hold that thought.
Democracy 24.
Ohio's deadline to certify presidential candidates for November's general election is August 7th, nearly 2 weeks before the Democratic National Convention, where President Biden is expected to be certified as the party's official 2024 nominee. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose asking Democratic officials in a letter how they'll comply. The Biden campaign is calling for provisional certification. A rep explaining in a statement officials in the Buckeye State have the ability to grant this prior to the conclusion of presidential nominated conventions. Adding, in 2020 alone, states like Alabama, Illinois, Montana, and Washington all allowed provisional certification for Democratic and Republican nominees. But LaRose and Ohio's Republican Attorney General Dave Yost's office have said this conflicts with the law. The Biden campaign can look to state lawmakers to make extensions. The state legislature has until May 9th to create an exception to the certification requirement. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. with partly cloudy to mostly sunny skies across the area today. High temperature readings will range from around 40 degrees in Bozeman to the upper 40s in Billings. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies, low temperatures around 20 in Bozeman, mid-20s in Billings, and the outlook for Friday does call for more sunshine with high temperature readings in the low to mid-40s. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, David, this NPR, I got to get a little more nasally. NPR, I had to plug my nose there for that one. Plus, their coverage stinks, so you got to plug your nose anyway. National Public Radio, apparently they get like hundreds of millions of dollars from taxpayers to prop up NPR. And yeah, so this Ari Berliner, is that his name?
Yeah.
This guy who had been an editor for NPR for 25 years writes this whole big expose about how biased they are and how there is zero diversity of thought in their newsrooms. They're just all a bunch of Democrats. They're never Trumpers. They suffer from Trump derangement syndrome. And now he's been sidelined for coming out publicly and saying and dare straying from the official party line. Meanwhile, the CEO of NPR is just this lefty loon. They've exposed all sorts of things about her. She had a Joe Biden for president baseball cap on, even though she's the CEO of a so-called news organization. But she gets to stay on the job. What a joke.
It really is. It really is. And some of the things this guy said about NPR is that there is no longer an open-minded spirit. They are knee-jerk activist and scolding. He found 87 registered Democrats working in editorial positions and zero Republicans. He says that the former NPR CEO called on his staff to be agents of change. And quote, we must commit ourselves, body and soul, to profound changes in ourselves and our institutions. And it goes on and just talks about how biased they are. But what's interesting about that is that Mark Levin wrote a book called Unfreedom of the Press, where Mark Levin went through the history of the press in America. And it's actually really interesting when you look at the history of the press. Of course, At America's founding, the press were very, very important to the Revolutionary War effort. The press were 100% in support of freedom and the Constitution and the Revolutionary War. And so the press, originally in the United States at the beginning, at the founding of our country, the press was actually a very positive force in our society and was very pro-revolution, pro-freedom, pro-Constitution. And then he kind of traces the history from that. And then it sort of moved into like the party press period, where all of the press was a party press. So you either had the Republican newspaper, the Democrat newspaper, and then you moved into more of to the professional journalism, where you had journalism become more of a profession, where they dedicated themselves to integrity and truth and trying to be professional and all these things. And then more recently, they've switched now from being that professional press to now they believe. A lot of these leftist journalists, they believe that it's their duty and obligation to be a hardcore leftist activist because they think that's what's the right thing to do.
It's their duty, especially to push social justice. They think it is their duty, and they use journalism to push social justice, environmental justice, or whatever. I mean, that's why I think one of the worst things that journalism programs at universities have been doing is they've created environmental journalism programs, but they're literally pushing a radical environmentalist agenda and then calling that journalism. Now, that's not journalism. Like, real environmental journalists would say, okay, wait a minute, we have a natural gas power plant being proposed in Laurel, Montana. The environmental journalist activist crowd would say you have to use your bully pulpit to bash a natural gas power plant and to undermine it and to support the climate kids nonsense, right? But a true environmental journalist, if they were actually going to do journalism, would say, well, wait a minute. Let's look at how much more efficient this power plant is compared to other types of power production. And, oh, if you actually are concerned about carbon dioxide, natural gas is the reason we lowered CO2 emissions. So But that type of thought and facts are not allowed in journalism anymore.
Right. And I mean, and it kind of shows the danger of being a journalist and using your position as a journalist to try to push some far left activist agenda because you think that's what's good for the world. It's like, well, hold on. Okay, now, if you're a journalist and you do that and you make a mistake and you do something wrong and your analysis turns out to be wrong, now you're at fault because you just used the power that you have as a journalist to push something that turned out to be totally false. And that's a perfect example. It's like, hold on, if you're just objective and report the facts, now you're no longer responsible when something really bad happens. But if you're going to be an activist leftist and pretend to be a journalist and push your idea, and then you do something like that against, for example, the Laurel PowerPoint, and then it fails and it doesn't go through, now you're responsible for all the bad consequences.
Well, in fact, I'm glad you made that point because I've been thinking about this too, is that, you know, it's easy to say Alejandro Mayorkas is responsible for the southern border invasion. John Tester is responsible for the southern border invasion. Joe Biden is responsible for the southern border invasion. Yes, all three of them are. But you know who else is responsible? KTVQ Television that covers for John Tester. The Billings Gazette that covers for John Tester. Any other news outlet in Montana that refuses to hold John Tester accountable for anything, but most importantly for the southern border. KTVQ Television, at least earlier this morning, didn't even have a story on their website about John Tester voting to immediately dismiss the articles of impeachment against Mayorkas. Neither did the Billings Gazette. This was like the easiest story for you to write and put on your websites, and you don't have this on your website, it's because they are covering for John Tester. So you know who else is responsible for the meth and the fentanyl and the drug cartels that are slaughtering people right here in their own TV viewing area? KTVQ Television is responsible for that. And as much as I hate to say it, because I've always had respect for that TV station and the folks that have worked there. I used to work there myself. The Billings Gazette, you're responsible too. You're covering for John Tester instead of covering him. Anyway, that's one of my rants.
That's a great rant. And it's important because we still have people out there that vote that still trust the Gazette and the KTVQ and the AP and the NPR. And it's important that they realize they cannot be trusted.
That's right. Don't trust a word that they throw out there.
Spring.
So you know this judge that is persecuting President Donald Trump with a gag order and more? Well, he has close family connections to the campaign of liberal Senator John Tester and other Democrat politicians. Well, what kind of connections? This judge's daughter has a big political consulting firm. John Tester has sent her $5 million. He's only behind Kamala Harris and Chuck Schumer. I've got the full story. Go to MontanaTalks.com for that and much more.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
USDA's April wheat outlook is showing global wheat ending stocks for the 2023 through 24 year are projected down this month by 0.6 million metric tons, totaling 258.3 million metric tons. The agency says that's the lowest level in 8 years. The biggest factor in this month's decline is India's wheat stocks, which are forecast down 2.1 million metric tons to 6.9 million metric tons.
Join the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. NCBA is the oldest and largest national cattle industry organization working to defend your interests in Washington, D.C. And there are big benefits to being a member. You get news you can use in the National Cattlemen, email updates in the NCBA Beef Bulletin, plus big discounts only for NCBA members. Join by calling 866-233-3872 or online at ncba.org.
And if you know a college student, scholarship applications are now available for students involved with the Angus breed. The Angus Foundation awards more than $358,000 in scholarships each year. And the foundation offers scholarships to undergraduate, graduate, and trade school students each year to help youth achieve their education goals. More information can be found at angusfoundation.org. I'm Lane Nordland.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide, this is Montana Talks. with Aaron Flint.
All right, the great David Noble in the house with us here for the 7 o'clock hour. He's got a busy day job, or we'd keep him around for the rest of the morning. But, thanks again to David for covering the show, filling in for me on Friday while I was down in Vegas for UFC 300. David, I was thinking this could actually be kind of a woke update of the week here, talking about all the woke nonsense. I should have downloaded a Fox News radio story on this. But this was, I think, the president of Columbia University was testifying before a House committee focused on anti-Semitism on college campuses yesterday. And I can't remember which congressman was questioning her, but he asked her about Columbia University had an official document or publication that had the word folks in it. But instead of F-O-L-K-S, it was F-O-L-X for folks, because, you know, they want to use an X on everything because they don't think that there's a difference between men and women anymore. So they want to remove the whole concept of gender. But the Columbia University president actually kind of ended up mocking these liberals, maybe unintentionally. But when she was asked about, you know, Columbia University having this document with folks, F-O-L-X, in it, she says, well, maybe they just don't know how to spell. So that was kind of funny. I think the Daily Caller had a story about that or something.
That's hilarious. And, I mean, it kind of shows that basically all you have to do to attack leftists is just show them their own words. That's what's so hilarious about libs of TikTok. All libs of TikTok does is simply just post videos of leftists, liberals on TikTok saying things. And oh my goodness, everybody freaks out. You can't do that. You can't. It's like, wait, so I can't like literally just show the video that you posted on TikTok? No, you can't. That's you're generating hate. How am I generating hate by just quoting you and posting your own video? Well, your audience hates these people and doesn't like it. It's like, well, maybe you shouldn't be so hateable on TikTok.
I feel like we have our own version of libs of TikTok. Because what does libs of TikTok do? It just gives them, it shows they them on video saying what they're saying what they actually believe. I feel like every time our liberal buddy, our environmentalist buddy, Ken in Great Falls, every time he calls in, it's like libs of TikTok. Because you think about it, if you're some old school Democrat from back, if you're an old school farmers union Democrat that doesn't realize that the Democrat Party abandoned you a long time ago, but you still vote Democrat because you just, that's what you've always done. You don't share the values of the modern day Democrat Party, but you still vote Democrat. But then you hear like Ken in Great Falls call into this show and say what the Democrat Party actually stands for, what they actually believe. You're like, wait a minute. Wait, what? What? That's right. What they actually believe. They believe in this radical environmentalist nonsense. They are anti-agriculture. They support things like the American Prairie Reserve that's trying to kick ranchers off the land. And so sometimes you just have to just allow them to be heard saying what they actually believe.
Right. And they will not push back against this pro-Hamas wing of the Democrat Party. It's just staggering to me that these pro-Hamas protesters keep disrupting these Democrat events, and these Democrats like John Tester will not denounce them.
So I had some guy. Now, he's either a liberal lefty, you know, pro-Hamas Democrat, or he could be one of the crazy far right, so libertarian that they're pro open borders and they hate Israel. Could be one of those. It could be a crazy on the left or the right. Right, you never know. But this guy called in, says he called in from Kalispell, and he says, "Well, Aaron, what about the Israelis bombing an embassy in Syria? You know, when somebody blew up these terrorists from Tehran in Syria." And you know, and I wasn't tracking the whole story. Thankfully, we have listeners that were tracking the whole story. You know, Lee and Billings called in and said, the consulate didn't get blown up. It was a building next to the consulate. So the previous caller was wrong there to begin with. So fair point.
Right. Yep.
And then apparently the Israelis hadn't even taken credit for killing the terrorists. So they didn't officially take credit for it yet. So another fair point. But my point was this. Of all the things that I have to be concerned about and to be worried about, which terrorists and where the terrorists were killed is not at the top of my list. I'm a little more concerned about the innocent women that were gunned down, raped, and murdered, and the babies that were murdered by Hamas terrorists. That's what I'm more concerned about. But why are these guys more concerned about, oh, well, they shouldn't have killed the terrorists here versus there? Priorities, people. Priorities.
So, well, and so Alan Dershowitz recently was talking about this stuff, and he was talking about how actually the terrorists, the IRGC terrorists that they took out in Syria, had actively and personally participated in the planning and execution of the October 7th terrorist attacks. So Israel was well within its legal rights under international law to kill him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But again, like, where are your priorities? Again, like, they want to nickel and dime where the terrorists got killed. Why don't you be more outraged at what the terrorists are actually doing, you know?
No kidding.
All right, back in 60 seconds.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Jury selection resumes this morning at former President Trump's trial in New York. Seven jurors chosen so far.
One juror who's already been picked said, quote, I don't know the man and I don't have opinions about him personally. I certainly follow the news. I'm aware there are other lawsuits out there, but I'm not sure that I know anyone's character. One juror who was excused called Trump, quote, fascinating and mysterious.
Fox's Eric Shawn. In another part of New York City, police are arresting pro-Palestinian protesters at Columbia University.
They're calling this the Gaza Solidarity Encampment, and they say it's to show support of Palestine while demanding an end to the university's, quote, alleged complicity in genocide. Since this student-led occupation, at least three other demonstrations formed near the university in support, all raging on despite orders from the school to evacuate.
Fox's Brooks Singman. A volcano eruption forces the evacuation of hundreds of people in Indonesia in a remote island village. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, David Noble. I don't know if you heard what Bill Maher had to say. That the liberal talk show host Bill Maher, he had some very interesting remarks about the topic of abortion. Let's save that though for after the next break, because that'll probably be a longer conversation. You've got a woke update of the week for us here. Where's this from? The New York Post.
This is a New York Post story. I thought this was funny. Lincoln Center cancels Mozart and goes woke. Based on a historical lie, they talk about here the New York's Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts is promoting this story that a vibrant black community known as San Juan Hill had been snuffed out in the 1950s to make way for the creation of the Lincoln Center. And so they say, quote, the displacement of indigenous black and Latinx families that took place prior to the construction of our campus is abhorrent on there. And so so they go through there and they talk about how basically, you know, hey, we're only here because of genocide and this is horrible what happened. And so we're going to cancel Mozart. And so they canceled Mozart in favor of a more quote unquote inclusive fair, which means sponsoring rappers, pop groups, LGBTQ, a mariachi band. So forget about.
Oh my goodness!
So forget about Mozart. Forget about Mozart. We're replacing Mozart with the LGBTQ mariachi band.
I was picturing this LGBTQ mariachi band down at like La Tinga Mexican restaurant in downtown Billings. You know, would you put that La Tinga away? People are trying to eat here. Let's make it a little more family friendly.
Right. Right.
whoa, buddy, cover that thing up. Come on.
But
man.
it's like, hey, you wokesters.
It's
like,
ma'am.
I love that. But these wokesters, it's like, hey, look, so you're basically saying that your little building there, your little organization there is just there as a result of genocide and it's horrible and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, then move.
Yeah.
Then destroy your building.
Get out of here. Yeah. Yeah, if you are, you know, so saddened by the land that you are standing on, then get the heck out of here.
Right. And it's just,
get off the land.
And it's the same thing with the Bozeman City Commission, and they've got their woke plan or whatever, the sustainability plan, or I can't remember what the thing is called, but it starts out with the history of Bozeman, and it talks about how, you know, the history of Bozeman, we often talk about Jim Bridger and John Bozeman and all these white guys, but that's not the real history. The real history is genocide, slavery, and blood. And it's like, you guys, like, fine, Move away from Bozeman. Yeah, get out of Bozeman. If it's so horrible that you're a white person there.
Do us all a favor, all you left wing nut jobs who took over the city of Bozeman, leave. Get out of here.
Yeah. And then the rest of us...
You don't like it, obviously. So what are you doing here?
Yeah, the rest of us can stay behind and still appreciate the history of Bozeman and Bridger.
The Brett Bear Minute.
House Speaker Mike Johnson has decided to move forward 4 spending bills, one on Israel, one on Ukraine, one on Taiwan, and another one that includes a possible ban or restriction on TikTok. That is not going over well in the caucus, to the point where another member, Congressman Massey, has said, I'm going to join Marjorie Taylor Greene and say Mike Johnson should no longer be Speaker. Fox News Radio political analyst Josh Krasauer.
This is going to be a real test of the Republican Party and whether it can come together and govern. That's one of the big tests for the party heading into an election year. I thought the meeting or the event that Johnson had with Trump was actually an encouraging sign that there could be sort of a unification. And even though there were disagreements between Trump and Johnson on some of these issues, that the party could come together.
I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
QC.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, another reminder, David Noble, you're going to be doing a fireside chat with Navy SEAL veteran and Republican Senate candidate Tim Sheehy tomorrow night for the Yellowstone County Lincoln Reagan dinner. I'm looking forward to watching that. And then I guess all of the House candidates for the Eastern Congressional District are going to be there, and they'll be able to give kind of their quick spiel to the audience as well. So even though I've gotten a chance to meet them all and know all of them, I'm interested in seeing how each one of them kind of performs on stage with a quick chance to communicate their message and what they communicate. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, that'll be great. Looking forward to tomorrow night as well. It's crazy. We're only, what, a couple months? We're less than a month away from voting in the May school board elections. I think ballots are going out right now for the May school board elections, if I'm correct. There's two contested school board seats in Yellowstone County. And then June, I think, is the primary. So we're only a couple months away from voting in that Eastern District primary.
Less than that, really. April 18th today. Absentee ballots. I forget. We had somebody on that was tracking when those absentee ballots come out. They come out.
Like in a month, maybe.
Less than a month.
Less than
a month. Like, I'm thinking, like, maybe the second week of May. I'll have to find out that. I need to get that on my calendar here. It might be on the Montana Secretary of State's website. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's less than a month, and ballots are already going to be in mailboxes. People are already going to be voting in that primary election, which is crazy because now if you're one of those candidates – you can't just plan backwards from, you know, the June I'd have to look at my calendar. The first Tuesday in June is when the primary election will take place. But in reality, Election Day starts when those ballots drop, when they hit people's, you know, mailboxes. So in reality, like, you can't just wait until the last week before the election to start blasting the airwaves with your campaign commercials and things like that. You got to start earlier. So it's gonna be interesting.
Which is one reason why it's a bad idea to have a month and a half of voting where you're just mailing ballots out all across the fruited plain and just sprinkling ballots across the land. I mean, that's what we do. I mean, you basically have a C-130 with a bunch of ballots, and it just flies across the state and just unloads the ballots, and they all kind of float down like leaflets being dropped in Gaza before the bombs start coming in. It's like, what kind of a system is this? But a lot of times, important information, important facts come out within the last month going into the election, and then all these people, oh, I guess I already voted, so I guess I can't take into account this breaking news, really important fact that just came out. You know, that's the problem with
it. Well, of course, and then how that works with Democrats is the important facts never come out until after the election.
Right.
And then the media is like, oh, yeah, we forgot to tell you about blah, blah, blah. Or, oh, yeah, everything that John Tester talked about in his campaign against Conrad Burns Burns. Yeah, that was a lie. That actually wasn't happening, but we reported on it like it was happening for an entire year. You know what I mean? And
right.
So, yeah, but they always try the last minute hit jobs on Republicans. And then with Democrats, they'll wait until after the election and then report a story that they should have actually covered before the election. Right.
Yeah. You know, it'd be interesting. How many of John Tester's main campaign promises and proposals from his original Senate run have turned out to be complete lies? For example, he was always opposed to giving amnesty to illegal aliens. Now he supports it. He was always opposed to accepting lobbyist cash. Now he's one of the top recipients of lobbyist cash. I mean, how many
he
more
campaigned to get the against the national debt in 2006. This spending's out of control. It was only $6 trillion then.
And he's voted for all of it.
It's almost $30 trillion more now.
Yep, and he voted for all of that.
And I think he was criticizing earmarks then, and now earmarks good. Earmarks good. My earmarks are good. Your earmarks are bad.
I'm sure he also pretended to support the Second Amendment in his first run.
Of course.
And now he's fully on board with the Democrat Party's gun-grabbing efforts.
He'd pretend to support the Second Amendment, but then he'd vote for Supreme Court justices that were clearly anti-Second Amendment and have ruled as such since they've been on the court as well.
I mean, we could go on and on.
We could. Patrick Webb shared a couple of great things via X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. Speaking of liberal Senator John Tester, Governor Greg Gianforte pointed this out. Illegal immigrants now outnumber Montanans 10 to 1. Joe Biden must stop this invasion. Patrick Webb says this. Senator Tester put a lockstep party vote in front of holding accountable and firing the man whose department is facilitating the southern border invasion. This seems like something, Patrick writes, that an enemy of our people would do, not our representative in the U.S. Senate. Yeah, John Tester voted party line with the Democrats to immediately dismiss articles of impeachment against Mayorkas.
So presumably he thinks that Mayorkas was being honest and truthful when Mayorkas testified in Congress that the border is secure. That's what Mayorkas testified to Congress. That, yeah, the border's secure.
Well, it's his good buddy. Remember when John Tester introduced Mayorkas when he was first nominated for this position? John Tester introduced him as his good friend. But, you know, another way I look at this is, how could John Tester hold somebody else accountable for the southern border invasion that John Tester is also responsible for?
Right.
So if he's going to hold Mayorkas accountable, he kind of needs to hold himself accountable, too.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Another great tweet here from Patrick Webb. Are you following any of these the petition signature gathering efforts at all?
I'm following the decline to sign.
Yeah, decline to sign.
Decline to sign, folks. Decline to sign.
Yep. That's great. That's a great line. I'm stealing that one. The decline to sign. So if you see these paid signature gatherers out there in front of a store, grocery store, whatever, hey, can I talk to you? Hey, can you sign our petition? You're not signing in support of it. You're just allowing it to be on the ballot. Do not sign. Politely say, hey, good morning. Have a good day. No, thank you. And just keep moving. Do not sign these petitions because there's a ranked choice voting one that they're trying to get on the ballot, which is ranked. It would be a mess. And then there's a radical abortion measure they're trying to get on the ballot, too. Decline to sign. Great
line. which they're deceptively lying about and claiming that, you know, this is only to make it so that a woman, when her life is in danger, can get an abortion. It's like, no, that's not what this is about. This is about legalizing abortion up until the moment of birth, and this is about putting it on the ballot so the Democrats can try to make this entire campaign about abortion. It boggles the mind to think about the national debt, our interest rates, our economy, our inflation, our foreign policy, our military issues, all of those issues. And the Democrats, all they care about is killing babies, murdering babies. I mean, that's all they care about is murdering babies. Think about all of the things we're facing as a country, our culture, our society, rates of anxiety and depression, all of these different issues we're facing, the economy, immigration, the war, fentanyl, on and on, addictions, on. But the Democrats, the only thing they care about is killing babies.
All the way up until the due date, no limits abortion, abortion on demand. They want to have enshrined in our state constitution. Patrick Webb says this, the truth behind CI 128. It's not about reproductive rights. It's about murder. It's about subversion of parental rights. It's about increased crime and sex trafficking across our state. Do not sign CI 128. Talk about changing our state. This will destroy it. But then he also shared this clip from HBO's Bill Maher, the very liberal Bill Maher. Listen to what Bill Maher says about the topic of abortion on a recent program. Whoa, hold on. All right. When I have the microphone set at that level, it doesn't make that noise. But if I start the clip at that level, it does that. I apologize. All right, here we go. Here's what Bill Maher said about abortion.
Scold the left on when they say, oh, you know what? They just hate women. People who aren't pro-life, pro-choice, they don't hate women. They just made that up. They think it's murder. And it kind of is. I'm just okay with that. I am. I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world. I'm sorry, we won't miss you.
What a stunning admission there from Bill Maher. And even the panelists there were kind of, they were like awkwardly like, do we laugh? They knew how awkward the moment was.
Well, that's how you end up with these Democrats, like the Democrat governor of Virginia, former Democrat governor of Virginia, who said, hey, if the baby's born and it's a botched abortion and the baby's alive and the baby's born and it's outside the mother and the baby's sitting there, what we do is we keep the baby comfortable and then we let the mom decide whether to execute the baby or not. And that's what Donald Trump continuously talks about. And so it's like, so if the baby is 8 months, 9 months along and you abort it, versus you kill the baby a couple hours after it's born. Morally, there ain't much difference there, and Bill Maher's basically admitting it. And
basically he's fine admitting it, yeah. But that's what they want to do. They want to have no limits, abortion on demand, all the way up until the due date, but they're going to use deceptive language to try to make it sound like that's not what they're doing. That's why just decline to sign, as David Noble says, when it comes to these paid signature gathering efforts. All right, quick break, back after this.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin Underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Fox News commentary.
Did you know that in California, it's just a misdemeanor offense to purchase a child for sex? I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's time to take the quiz. 5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
History, pop culture, science, sports, civics. How much do you know? Let's find out.
Who was the first person to walk on the moon?
Jackson or something?
Neil Armstrong.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course listen to the quiz right now at thequiz.fox.
I have long told you about California's felon coddling policies, but even I was stunned to learn that in that godforsaken state, purchasing or soliciting a child for sex will get you a simple misdemeanor charge with a max penalty of 1 year in jail or a minimum of 2 days in jail and a $10,000 fine. No, I'm not kidding. Republican State Senator Shannon Grove is trying to fix that with the bill to classify that atrocity as a felony with a maximum of 4 years in prison and a $25,000 fine. Call me crazy, but even that seems lenient. History will remember what we did to protect and shield children, and right now we are failing miserably. It is unfathomable to me that even in California, this is up for debate and discussion. Yet another reason to move to a red state as fast as possible. Save yourselves. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless at Outkick.com.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. The Biden administration, via the ATF last week, announced changes to rules they say will close the so-called gun show loophole. But what is this often cited loophole? Some argue it doesn't exist, but it refers to a possibility of someone buying a firearm at a gun show under the guise of a private sale in which a background check isn't necessary. They contend criminals buy their guns this way. And the rule changes now in progress at ATF would require more sellers hold federal firearms licenses as dealers by essentially changing the standard of selling firearms as a livelihood to selling them for a profit. In turn, this would theoretically require more background checks. But the National Shooting Sports Foundation points to data saying fewer than 1% of criminals admit to buying guns in this manner, where more than half admit to buying stolen firearms or just stealing the guns themselves. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown.
.com/RADIO.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend. Studio. Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Had a couple of messages that came in on our Montana Talks app. David, I don't know if you heard it. Yesterday, 24 hours ago, we had a phone call from Kyle Austin. He's one of the Republican candidates for the Eastern Congressional District, and he had an idea to help the economy of Great Falls. He wants to create a big gambling district in Great Falls, almost like a little Vegas strip, but for Great Falls. Anyway, Tim and Savage messaged us, but I didn't see the message till after we wrapped up the 7 o'clock hour yesterday. He said, thanks, but no thanks, Kyle. Too much gambling already. That was from Tim and Savage. I got a message from Monty in Roundup in the 6 o'clock hour on Gutfeld last night. They addressed a meltdown by Joe Scarborough on MSNBC. Joe Scarborough stated how wonderful the economy is and how wonderful everything is going right now and how terrible the average stupid Americans fall for the propaganda from Fox News and Donald Trump. Apparently, Joe Scarborough doesn't buy his own food or pump his own gas is the message from Monty and Roundup. Yeah, he probably has a black sedan that picks him up every morning and drives him to work.
Yeah, these Democrats, whenever they lose or whenever they're getting unpopular, it's always just, oh, our messaging is bad, or the Republicans are better at messaging. It's like, no, this isn't a messaging issue, folks.
Or Americans are stupid.
Right. Never reflect on the fact that, no, actually, people are struggling out there. 60% plus of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck because this economy is so bad. Our growth is anemic. Inflation is through the roof. It's like what planet are you folks living on out there? You folks.
Folks, F-O-L-X. Yeah. Here, listen to our LGBTQ mariachi band, as we call you, Latinx,
Right.
My goodness. That reminds me, in the 6 o'clock hour, Tom in Billings called in and invited me to the NRA banquet out in Glendive Saturday. But Saturday night, I'll be out at On the Rocks, cool restaurant in Warden, Montana, great restaurant in Warden, Montana. We're doing one of our Americans for Prosperity Bidenomics events. So we're going to be picking up 24% of your restaurant tab at On the Rocks on Saturday night from about 4:30 to 6:30. I'm going to be out there for a volleyball tournament at Huntley Project anyway. And so then, boom, we'll just go do an event over at On the Rocks, great restaurant. Hey, come and see us. Of course, that event is paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana. But then tomorrow, David, I'll be at Top Sandwich Company on the Shiloh Road location in Billings doing a similar event, passing out some gift cards there. So lots of great opportunities. Say hello.
Do you ever stop working and just maybe sit on the couch for an evening?
on the taxi ride from the UFC after party to the airport, I took a little nap. So I,
good.
Ready to roll. Right?
You're doing so many events and traveling and doing all that stuff. And that's a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a vacation time come September, but then luckily David Noble will be coming in.
Heck yeah.
to run us right through the finish line in November of 2024. But this is that big of a year.
That's going to be a huge deal. Yeah. It's going to ramp up here and we're off to the races in the election. Do you think Joe Biden and Donald Trump are going to debate?
I hope so. I hope so, man.
Did you see how that clip from Joe Biden where he said, "Hey, Israel better not march on Haifa."
Oh, no.
And Haifa is, of course, an Israeli town. Yeah, the RNC. If you go to the RNC research X account, and I'm sure they put it up on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I need to check that more often.
Yeah, no, Israel better not move on Haifa.
Well, like,
Haifa's an Israeli town.
Yeah, then Tim and Savage messaged us. Now he's claiming that he had an uncle eaten by cannibals in New Guinea or something. And
oh, yeah.
That's not true either.
That got community noted, I think.
Yeah. Who was it on Fox and Friends first earlier this morning? They called Joe Biden the human Roomba. With the way he kind of shuffles around and robotically.
Well, and then he likes to jog to show his vitality.
Yeah. Shuffle.
Shuffle, yeah.
That's not even an airborne shuffle. All right, David, good to see you.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Many grocery store shoppers are fed up with high prices for food. Since the pandemic, food staples are around 25% higher. But there's lots of penny-pinching strategies you can use to lower your grocery bill, like switching to generic brands, which tend to be cheaper. If that's not your preference, do a comparison test and check out the ingredients of store brands side-by-side to name brands. You'll often see that generic provides the same quality. Use coupons. It can be time-consuming, but you can download digital coupons on your phone and apply them at checkout. Consider buying in bulk, but only if you're going to consume the food before it goes bad or you're planning to freeze it, because buying too much in bulk might end up in the trash. Making a list and checking it twice doesn't apply to just holiday shopping. Many frugal shoppers do that every time they head to the store. And consider skipping the non-perishable goods aisles and instead shop for these items at dollar stores. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.